Sunset. 1. The dead boy opened his eyes. All was still and silent, he among it, and most of all. A statue he was, his only movement in the yawning of his pupils, the soft parting of his bloodless lips. There was no quickening of breath as waking claimed him, no deeping drumbeat beneath his porcelain skin. He lay there in darkness, angelic and bare, staring at the time-worn velvet canopy above and wondering what had woken him. It was not nightfall, to be sure. The day star was yet kissing the horizon, the dark not yet quite sunk to its knees. The mortals who shared his grand four-poster bed were peaceful as corpses, motionless, save for the feather-light shift of the bow's arm across his belly, the smooth rhythm of the maid's breath against his chest. There was no hunger in a bed so laden, nor chill amid beauties so ripe. So what, then, had dragged him from slumber? He had not dreamed during the day. Those of the blood never did. But still, he realized sleep had brought him no comfort, frail daylight no rest, and emerging now fully from the death-deep murk of sleep, all at once he understood. What had woken Jean-Francois was the pain. He remembered now, hand drifting up toward his neck as the images danced like corpse flies in his head. Iron-hard fingers sinking into the ashes of his throat, wine-stained fangs bared in a snarl, storm-grey eyes brimming with hatred as Jean-Francois was slammed into the wall, red smoke boiling from his skin. "I told you I'd make you fucking scream, leech." He'd been only a few moments from his ending. He knew it. Had Melinée not intervened with her silver-steel dagger, imagine it. After all you've seen and done, imagine dying right there in that filthy cell. Lying there in the darkness, Jean-Francois caressed the place Gabriel de Lyon had hurt him. Picturing those grey, pitiless eyes veiled in red smoke, the dead boy felt his jaw clench. And for a moment, just the space of a single mortal breath, the Marquis experienced a sensation he'd imagined consigned to the dust of decades. There is no one more afraid of dying than things who live forever. His movement had disturbed the girl beside him, and she sighed before sinking back towards sleep. A pretty flower she was, Sudami born, with soft dark curls and deep olive skin. She was on the scrawny side, but weren't they all these nights, a handful of years older than Jean-Francois when he'd received the gift. But her skin was warm, and her touch oh so clever. And whenever she looked at him, her deep green eyes swelled with a hunger at wondrous odds with her ingenue's facade. She'd served in his stable almost 4 months now, wanton and willing. For a moment, Jean-Francois wished he could remember her name. His eyes roamed the promise of her bare body, the lush line of the artery running the inside of her thigh, the delicious tracery of veins at her wrists and up, up to the sharp blade of her jaw. He watched her pulse thrum gently below it, hypnotic, soft with sleep. The thirst stirred inside him, his hated lover, his beloved enemy, and Jean-Francois pictured Gabriel de Lyon again, the silver saint's face hovering just inches from his. Fingers sinking deeper, lips close enough to kiss. "Scream for me, leech." The historian levered himself onto his elbow, golden curls tumbling about his cheeks. Behind him, the young beau sighed objection, hand questing over cold sheets. He was a Nordish beauty, that one, raven of hair and creamy of skin, near 20 years old, Jean-Francois supposed. The Vicountessa Nicolette had presented him a few weeks past, a bribe from his blood niece in exchange for a kind word in the Empress's ear. And though he hated Nicolette like poison, Jean-François had accepted. The beau was lean as a thoroughbred, the flesh at his wrist and throat and nethers faintly scored by needle-sharp teeth. His name definitely starts with a D. Jean-François traced marble fingertips over the maid's skin, gentle as the first breath of spring. Chocolat eyes narrowed in fascination as her flesh reacted. That telltale trail of prickling hair as one razored fingernail grazed the bite marks at her throat. The monster leaned in, tongue flickering swift, over, around the tightening swell of her nipple, and the maid's breath quickened, shivering, waking fully now. The warmth of the blood he'd drunk before they'd all tumbled into sleep had faded. His lips must have been cool as melting ice. Yet she moaned as he suckled deeper, biting hard but not quite hard enough. And parting her thighs, she dared to run a hand through his golden hair. "Master," she breathed. The beau was awake now, roused by the maid's sighs. He scattered kisses across the Marquis's bare shoulders, and slow as melting candle wax, his hand quested over the cold blood's hips, across the pale muscle of his belly, down toward Jean-François's nethers. The vampire allowed the Nordling to touch him, stroke him, willing his blood southward and hearing the beau groan as he grew iron-hard and heavy in his hand. "Master," he sighed. The maid was pressing gentle kisses along his throat, ever closer to the wounds de Lyon had left. Jean-François seized a fistful of her curls, and she gasped as he dragged her back. Her pulse was a war drum now, and he kissed her, hard, allowing his fangs to slice her lip and spill a few drops of ruby-bright fire across their dancing tongues. The thirst surged then, and for a moment, it was all he could do to bring it to heel. But the Marquis was a creature who enjoyed the hunt as much as the kill, and so he broke their bloody kiss and guided the maid toward the rock-hard beau behind him. She understood at once, lips parting as the Nordling knelt up to meet her. He groaned as she took him into her mouth, pulse thumping harder beneath smooth, warm skin. The Marquis watched the pair sway for a time, the play of shadow and light on their flesh. The scent on the air told Jean-François that the maid was wet and warm as summer rain, and the merest brush of his fingers along her quim made her shiver all the way to her curling toes, pushing back against his hand, kneading, pleading. "Not yet, love," he whispered, eliciting a moan of protest. "Not yet." Jean-François rose, languid, kneeling on the bed behind the breathless beau. Brushing long black locks from the Nordling's neck, the Marquis felt the mortal tremble, a predator at his back now, sharp claws skimming over his skin. The Marquis's hands roamed down delicious swells and valleys of muscle, finally encircling the heat of that throbbing cock. And gazing down over the plain of his prey's heaving belly to the maid, he growled a low, hard command. "Finish him." The maid moaned, eyes locked on his, a priestess, lost in worship. The beau was shaking, taking hold of the maid's tresses as the monster's fangs grazed his skin. Jean-François could still feel the silver saint's fingers around his throat. "Scream for me," he whispered. The beau did just that, one hand tangled in the Marquis's hair. The maid plunged him into her throat, deep and deepest, and as Jean-François felt it, that pulsing, rushing heat flooding up through the beau's nethers and into her waiting mouth, he bit down, past that brief, intoxicating resistance of skin, unleashing the rush of bliss-thick life within. There was nothing then. No trembling body in his arms. No cry of ardour echoing on the walls. There was only the blood, aflame with every mote of the bow's passion, an elixir of life and lust entwined and lifting him ever upward into boundless skies. Alive. Jean-Francois drank just as greedily as the maid, wanting only more, only this, only everything. In nights before the day star failed, he'd have taken just that. Yet sheep were too rare now, their lives too dear to waste, and so he sliced his thumb with one sharp fingernail, pressed it to the bow's lips. The mortal gasped, latching on, suckling, one hand still entwined in the maid's curls, drinking deep as he pumped his hips, a perfect communion, consuming and consumed, all the world around them bathed in. Master! The call sounded at the bedchamber door, followed by brisk knocking. Jean-Francois recognized the perfume under the heavenly scent of blood. Meline, he sighed, mouth dripping red. Enter. The door to his boudoir opened, admitting echoes of steel and stone, faint whispers of servants in halls above. The chateau was waking now, a dozen faint notes of blood scent hanging in the air as his majordomo swept into the room. Meline was clad in a whalebone corset, a stunning gown of black velvet damask, only slightly worn with age. A lace choker was cinched about her throat, long red hair bound into thin braids, a half dozen strung artfully across her eyes in the seaming of thin chains. She looked a madam of middle 30, though in truth she was closer to 50, the relentless charge of time slowed by the blood she supped weakly from his veins. She stood framed in the doorway, tall and stately, casting an ice-cold glance over his half-savoured feast. The bow was on his back, drained pale but still hard as steel. At the sight of Meline, the maid's mood fell, and she drew the sheets up over her nakedness, gaze downturned. What is it, Meline? His majordomo curtsied. The Empress wishes to see you, master. The historian slipped a robe over his shoulders. Its fabric was pale and fine, but beginning to fray at the hems. No new silk in a land where nothing grew. He brushed fingertips across a chemical globe, bringing light to the palatial bedchamber around him. The walls were lined with oaken shelves, brimming with the histories that so fascinated him. His desk was scattered with charcoal sticks, artful studies of animals, architecture, naked bodies. Jean-Francois sprinkled some ground potato loaf into a glass terrarium, smiling as five black mice emerged from the little wooden chateau. His familiars fell to their meal, Claudia snapping at David as she always did, Marcel squeaking for peace. He glanced to his majordomo. We have a sitting scheduled on Priedi, do we not? Apologies, master, but Her Grace commands your presence now. The historian blinked, his attention sharpened. Meline was still curtsying, perfectly motionless, perfectly trained. But he caught the discord in her tone, the tension in her shoulders. Padding toward her, silk whispering, he touched her cheek. Speak, my dove. A herald has arrived from Dame Kestrel, master. The Iron Maiden has accepted Her Grace's invitation, the Marquis realized. Meline nodded. As has Lord Karim, master. Envoy arrived late this morning, bearing news of the spider's intent to attend our Empress's convocation. The Priory of the Blood Voss and Ilon? he breathed, bewildered. Coming here? Jean-François turned toward the bed, his voice iron hard. Out. The maid sat up quick, taut with fear. Pulling on a nightdress, she urged the beau to his feet, draping his arm about her shoulder. She avoided Melanie's cold stare, always a clever little thing, this one, helping her stablemate toward the door. But as they passed, the Nordling met Jean-François's eyes, gaze still burning with the madness of the kiss. I love you, he whispered. Jean-François pressed one claw to the beau's sticky lips and aimed a pointed stare at the maid. No further warning was needed, and the pair vanished swift out the door. Melanie watched their exit, bristling. You do not like them, Jean-François murmured. The woman lowered her gaze. Forgive me, master, they are unworthy of you. Oh, my darling. Jean-François caressed the thrall's cheek, lifting her chin so she might look at him again. My dear Melanie, envy does not become you. They are but wine before the feast. You know it is only you that I trust, you that I adore. The woman dared to cup his hand to her cheek, scattering his knuckles with kisses. Oui, she whispered. You are the blood in my veins, Melanie. And if I have one fear, my dove, my darling, it is the thought of an eternity without you by my side. You know this, do you not? Oui, she breathed, near weeping. Jean-François smiled, trailing his finger down her cheek. He watched her pulse run quicker, her bosom heaving as his hand reached the choker at her throat. Then he hooked one sharp claw beneath her chin, almost hard enough to break the skin. Now, dress me, he commanded. Melanie shivered, whispering, As it please you.